Well, Kingdom greetings. Hey, come on, put your hands together again for June. Let's encourage her. It's not easy standing up here. So thank you. But yeah, God, there's something I knew. Actually, I went on Google Translate last night and translate that. It's something that I always tell people in Creole. It says, bon Dieu vous bénédiction côté gain gestion. Meaning, God sent his blessings where there's good management. Because sometimes we're like, well, Lord, bless me, bless this, bless that. But he's already blessing, you just mismanaging. God sent his blessings where there is management. Now that goes to our finance, our houses, our relationships, and it goes to this beautiful facility the Lord has blessed us with. So if we are being intentional about taking good care of it, we don't have to replace the carpets. I mean, we will eventually have to do that. So God bless, he blesses whatever you manage. He sends his blessings where there is management. So please, I encourage you. You know, sometimes thank God that in the Bible, Galatians, it says one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Two words, right? Self-control. Meaning, it's not the Holy Spirit that's going to come to control you. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to self-control. Anybody here? So this three extra donuts, I have the ability to eat them or not eat them. That's funny, but what I'm thinking, I have the ability to stop thinking it or to open my mind to it. This relationship, I know I must sow into it. I have the choice to sow into it or to not sow into it. You know, I've been spending some quality, good, when I say quality time, I love spending my time with my Jesus. And then I had, one of the reasons we keep repeating ourselves, it's because we want to keep the vision in front of you. We say, welcome to God's house. We are a place of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. Everything we do here, we do it in the mindset of discipleship. I mean, preaching a message, a sermon. I see now everybody has, you know, with the internet now, everybody wants to be a podcaster or YouTuber. But you know, the Bible says everyone will be judged for every word they say. And most of the time, I mean, it says in the word, if we can control our tongue, we can control everything. See, this little thing, cause a lot of trouble. Cause a lot of trouble, that's what I said. So my goal as your pastor, when I teach, when I preach, my prayer is that you would grow in the fear of the Lord. That's my prayer. And I pray right now, I said, Lord, just cause our hearts to grow in the fear of God. But not only that, in the love of God. There was this story about this eminent preacher that did some crazy things, and then he got caught. Remember, your character, your ethic, the person you are behind doors will protect you in public. Your reputation is who you are in public. So your ability will take you to places, to high places. Only your character will hold you there. That's why it's very important to invest in your inner man, your spirit man, your will you. You are a spirit. You dwell in this physical body and you have a soul. Your soul is your emotion, your feelings. That's why we don't give in to our feelings. We have a debt, but you don't owe your feelings. You live by the spirit. Because if you live by the spirit, then you won't accomplish or do the desire of your flesh. So here is this guy, very famous, and he got caught, got arrested, put in jail. And you know, usually when that happened, it's usually a big explosion in the media. But then, just think about some of his spiritual sons, and one of his spiritual sons, were like, man, how is that possible? How is it that, it's just like you hear those stories, you're like, well, how come you are a man of God, a woman of God? How is it possible that you go that far to go online, whatever, and just deal with little children? You know, I mean, we don't want to talk about it, but it's like you asking yourself, how is that possible? The Bible says the enemy is like a roaring lion, waiting, looking for who he can devour. I'm going somewhere. My prayer, my goal is that we grow in the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord. You see, the love of the Lord is not enough to keep you from evil. Your love for Jesus is not enough to keep you from doing what you must not do. Even the love of the Lord is not enough to get you to do the things you must do. You need the fear of the Lord. You need a reverent fear. So then here is this guy in prison. One of his spiritual sons went to him, be like, you know what? I'm baffled. I'm like, I cannot get over it. What happened? So he went to the father, to his spiritual father, and asking, how is it possible? When did you stop loving God? Because you're thinking, if you really love God, there are certain things you won't do. I mean, you think. That's the way it should be. I don't serve God because I have to. I serve God because I want to. And I'm not going to give God my leftovers. I don't want to be a foot in the world, a foot in the church. It can't be. You can't be lukewarm. You're either in or you're out. Jesus is coming back. I mean, look at the world. Or are you going to die? You and I will die. You know, I know this is not something we like to talk about, dying, because we think, well, you want to enjoy life, whatever. But I tell you, it doesn't matter. We're dying. We're all dying sooner or later. But thank God, what can you compare to? You cannot compare eternity to 97 years on this earth. It's miserable. That's why I want you to live with a kingdom perspective. Man, we can't wait to go to heaven. Why? Because it's like, man, we're done with this. So here, this is what the guy said. The spiritual father answered the son. He said, well, of course, by that time, he's broken, humbled. The world, Satan comes steal, and destroy. So Satan came, he stole his reputation, his credibility, his family, his fame. So he's right now humbled in a prison cell. So then he said, he's like, well, son, I never stopped loving God. So then the son's like, what do you mean? He said, I never stopped loving God. I stopped fearing God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to shun evil. And a lot of times when we talk about evil, sin in the church, we think adultery, stealing, murder. What else? Fornication, homosexuality. we think, what else? We think what we call. There is no such a thing big. There is no big sin, little sin. Sin is sin. How about anger? How about being a hypocrite? How about backstabbing, talking about people with other people? Well, let me bring it a little more closer here. How about being Haitian? I'm not talking about being American, thinking I'm Haitian. I'm talking about Haitians. You know what that means, being Haitians? There's a certain ways Haitians do things. How about being Americans or Jamaican, Puerto Ricans, African, you know? How about that? The clash of two kingdoms. You see, until, Jesus said, until, unless you are born again. Born again, why? I was born as a Haitian, but now unless I am born in the kingdom, meaning now I don't think like Haitians anymore. So my culture, my whole mindset has been shifted from being Haitian-minded to kingdom-minded. So now whatever situation I face, I don't face it from an American or Haitian mindset. I'm addressing it from a kingdom mindset. So then I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? What is the word says about this such situation? So I pray. I say, Lord, make our teaching here, take the platform, make our teaching here create, start with me, the fear of God and a love for God in our hearts. I want our teaching, whoever comes here, I want our teaching to exalt Jesus. Because, once again, it's the word. It says, when the Son of God is lifted up, what it does? Jesus draws every heart to himself. I mean, I could huff and puff here for hours, but until the Holy Spirit comes and pew, melt your heart, I got nothing. That's why it's not in the style. It's not in the form. So I pray, number one, that the fear of the Lord, you'd grow in it. And you'd grow in your love of the Lord. But also I pray that you would start receiving. Have a heart that receives. I thank God because he gave me this heart. This is my heart. Kendra can tell you. She's not here. She's supporting Ryan. Ryan is running a marathon today. But Kendra said, I don't know how she saw that. We were talking yesterday. I know Kendra for 30 years now. We've been married this year 27, but I know her for 30 years. But she said, I pursued Kendra for 1 year. I'm like, baby, come on. I love you, baby. Would you? As that was me, I pursued her, wrote her letters, I love you, I can't sleep without you, I want to marry you, all that stuff. Finally, she didn't tell me, she told me that later. She's like, you weren't married quality. I was a good looking boy, young man, but she said, you weren't marriage quality. What I was looking for, she's like, I kind of like you, but I know you couldn't be my husband at the time. So she kept denying me. And me, I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, come on, women, let's go. I love you, baby. Finally, the light came on for me. I'm like, that's nonsense. I pursued Kendra for a year. And then the light came on for me. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I was like, no girlfriend, Jesus. Then I focus on Jesus, got in the Word. The Lord was doing some awesome thing in my heart. I literally just let her go and just start growing in the Lord. And then she said, one day she came to me. She called me. She said, I think I'm ready. She's like, I like you too. I want to have a relationship. In Creole, it's the word love is the same word as like. Moi aimé, je t'aime. En français, je t'aime. Moi aimé, it could be I like you or I love you. It depends on the tone, or who you saying this to, you know? So then when she said that, I thought she was saying, you know, I really appreciate you, Ricardo, you know, you whatever she was seeing. But this is what she said. She said, you know, I was praying and I've been watching you recently. I saw that you have a heart. When you encounter the word, you repent. And my brothers and sisters, I thank God for this. And I pray that for each one of you. That's the way I live my life. When the word of God convict me, the truth, that's what saves our marriage. When the word of God, you see this, now more so as I grow older in the Lord, more so I do not negotiate, and that's probably why I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed, hallelujah, I'm blessed, I am so blessed. Everywhere I go, whatever, in our lives, we started three times. In 2010, we lost everything we worked for. I lived in Florida for a number of years and spent most of my money down in Haiti. Lost it all in the earthquake. We started our lives three times. And I tell you this to say what? We're talking about the fear of the Lord. A heart that is open to receive. And when she said that, and still today, I have a heart. I do not negotiate obeying God's word. I told you this story already. I won't tell you again, but for those of you maybe haven't heard it, I remember the first time I read in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6 where it says, children, honor your father and your mother. I was reading the Bible. I was reading it. I was in the ministry school and I'm reading it. Children, for the first time, I'm like, children, you know, the word is coming alive. Children, honor your father and mother. I'm like, hang on. Hey, that's the word of God. I respect the word of God. I honor the word of God. Ooh, father, I can't do it. So I grabbed my pen. I went over the word father. I cover it. How many times we do the same thing? In the word of God, we're picking and choosing. This is more comfortable. I can honor my father. I can honor my mother. But father, no, there's no way. I can forgive my mother. I can forgive this person. I can forgive this situation. I can deal with that situation. But that situation, I did that. So truth that will change our lives is the truth, first of all, we receive or accept. It's the truth we believe and the truth we obey. You know, in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But it's not just knowing about the truth. It's the truth you receive. So when you hear God's word, do you have a disposition in your heart to be like, this is God's word. There's no negotiation. Obedience to the word of the Lord is not negotiable. You cannot negotiate with the word of God. What God says, that's what it is. It says, husband loves your wife. So what option do I have? If I really want to encounter the Lord, I gotta love her. Divorce is not an option. Now, I'm not talking about if somebody is being abused physically, emotionally. Yeah, he hates divorce as much as he hates abused. Let me make that clear, because I know that's one thing we in the church, a lot of time we kind of discard, you know, like suffer in the name of the Lord. No. If the guy is not respecting you, if the girl is not respecting you, I'm not saying go and divorce, have a talk, a serious talk. Because the word of God, the Bible gives us everything we need to live, equipped us. The word of God equipped us to live a godly life. So, open your Bible with me in Ephesians chapter 4. The old man must go. The old man must go. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. I know a lot of time I do have my favorite Bible right here, right? But it doesn't matter which version you have, but we're going to talk about, there's a couple words I want to put emphasis on it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. We're going to start from verse 17. It says, now this I say and I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do, in the fertility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of their hearts. Now it says to their hardness of their heart. Verse 19. They have become callous. Stop right there, everybody. You can look at me now. Callous. Now I can talk about calluses. Verse 19, do I have a version that have that word in there in the computer? Maybe the, like the American Standard or the English Standard Version, where it says they have become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But let's, before we go forward, let's pause right there. I want to bring the word callous to our attention. I play guitar, right? I'm a guitarist. I play the keys and the piano because I play the guitar. Everything I learn on the guitar, I transfer from my mind. Everything I know how to play on the keyboard or the piano, it's because I transfer, I don't know, somehow it's a gift, thank God. I transfer it from my mind to the keyboard. But I find out playing the piano is a lot easier than playing the guitar. You know why? I'll show you why. So for example, if any of you wants to play the guitar, is this on? If any of you wants to play the guitar, that's a good thing. You go online, you go to the store and you buy yourself a guitar. Yay, mommy and daddy, cousin, whatever. And you tell all your friends, I'm going to play the guitar. It's beautiful. And then your teacher is going to show you the name of the strings, you know, that's E, B, E, B, G, D, A, E. So the guitar has six strings. Oh, that's easy. And then your teacher is going to tell you to use your right hand, and you're going to, it's going to tell you it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're going to do, you know, like the thumb, use the top 3-1. Now, for a beginner, that's hard because you got to train your mind. But some other people, it might be easy. Oh, that's easy. And then your teacher is going to be like, while you do 1, 2, 3, you're going to use these three fingers to go, and you're going to go like this. That's your first lesson. One of the lessons. And you're going to get excited. Yeah, I can play. Oh, this is so good. And the teacher is going to be like, yeah, you're doing so good. And then it's going to be great. All right, the teacher sent you home, and then you practice. You go home excited, and you, mom, dad, auntie, whatever, grandma, look. You're so diligent and disciplined, you get it. The next day, our next lessons, you come excited. All right, so then the teacher is like, all right, now this is what I want you to do. We're going to use the left hand. And we're going to play, this is E, right? E, F. E, F. Okay? It's like, okay, I can do that. Now, a beginner, now me, I've been playing for years. That's no big deal for me to get the F sound. But what you don't understand is for me to get the F sound, look, I gotta press the string. Because if I don't press it, look, if I don't press the string, hear that? So when I'm up here, I'm making a sound, my fingers are screaming. Especially, I'm talking about the beginners. Like me, nowadays, I've been playing a lot of keyboards, piano, so I'm losing my calluses. So the less I play, the less callous I have. And I mean, I used to be really good. But then the thing is, if I'm doing this, what's paying the price? My fingers is sliding on a string. It sounds good. But my fingers paying the price. But the more I play, more calluses I have, and then I don't feel it. Calluses, spiritual calluses, can be good, can also be bad. There are a lot of people in the church, you know what happened to them? That's what Paul says here. They became calluses in some areas. Their conscience do not reproach them anymore. It's a very dangerous place to be. Now, for my guitar playing, I need my calluses. As a matter of fact, I need to keep practicing. And I want you to picture this in your mind. Some spiritual exercise, if you don't keep practicing to become callous towards the affair of the world, you know what's going to happen? And put that same example with what I just showed you with the guitar. If I don't have calluses to play, and I want all of you to somehow find a guitar and try to press on the string to have a sound. You have to press it. And then, and I go back to my student, the encounter with my student. And it's like, I said, no, you got to press it. And then sometimes, I remember one student I had. They're pressing. They're like, I'm pressing it. I'm like, well, what needs to happen? You see your thumb here? There needs to be a coordination with this finger and your thumb. You got to push your thumb into the neck to make a press. So it's like you got to press. There's a price to pay to get a good sound. That's the positive aspect. And you guys just got your first guitar lesson. How about that? You just get your first guitar lesson. But there is a place I want to go with this. It says they have become callous. Listen to this. Becoming spiritual callous means you develop a hard heart, a dull heart, an insensitive heart, or unresponsive heart towards God. Your conscience doesn't bother you anymore. I told you last week, none of us in our right mind would drag our trash can in the middle of our living room. I believe the Lord wants us to be free from spiritual dullness. I read this in Ephesians chapter 4 how many years I've been reading Ephesians? Bam, this word popped up and it's like, wow. You know what happened with spiritual calluses? It caused you to be lukewarm. Do I have anybody here with me? Becoming spiritual callous means developing a hardened heart, a dull heart, insensitive heart, or unresponsive heart. And I go further. It puts you in a position even to say, I don't need people. You think, well, I don't need anybody. That's why I can do life by myself. That's why it's very dangerous with this whole thing that you can do church online. No, you can't have a community online. No. Social media, you know, all those people liking, commenting. Man, when rubber hits the road, can you call them? They're going to show up? No. So do not allow spiritual calluses. I just showed you the difference between physical calluses. I know some of you might work hard in the garden or whatever you do. Some people, they have calluses here. because they, you know, they work hard. You need those because those are some people, they grow calluses here because they use their hands. Some people cannot walk barefoot. You know, even though, thank God for what we have, but you know, it's good to walk barefoot. It's very good to walk barefoot. Go in the dirt when it's warm enough. Go walk outside. But you know, some of you, you can't even walk without your shoes because you have no calluses. It's like your feet so sensitive, like a baby skin. You can't do it. But also some other people, they walk barefoot. I've seen it. They walk barefoot for miles and then they grow calluses. They don't need shoes. I've seen guys in different places, man, they play soccer barefoot. You're like, how do you do that? No, you know how? It's because they have grown calluses in their foot. So what are some, when we read that this verse, what are some key aspects of spiritual calluses? You lost sensitivity. You lost sensitivity. You stopped caring for people. The ability to feel spiritual conviction. Oh, you lost remorse. Now, when you harbor unforgiveness, bitterness, anger in your heart, are you able to sleep? This is my prayer, and I pray that over my life. When I'm angry at somebody, I pray that I would be so sensitive that I can't sleep because I grieve the Holy Spirit. In this same chapter of Ephesians chapter 4, when you go to verse 27, it says, do not give a foothold to the devil. You know, and I started reading this book this morning that talks about do not invite the devil at your table. How many times we do that? We invite the devil. There's a chair, there's a seat at your table for the devil. And you're like, well, I'm not stealing. I'm not sleeping around. I'm not gossiping. But how about just you being you? You take no crap from nobody. How about that? How about I'm going to show them? I take no crap from nobody. How about, you know what, I'm going to tell them, you can disrespect everybody, but not me. How about that? In the same chapter of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, go ahead, get angry. Yeah, go ahead, get angry. But do not let the sun go down on at your anger. Or do not use your anger to fuel revenge. You lost sensitivity. When I use my fingers, when my calluses are good, I can play for hours. Yeah, I remember sometimes I could play different events. I play for hours. Now I can play the keyboard for hours. After a while now, these fingers hurt. Why? Because I'm not playing as much. I really need to pick up my guitar and play at home so I can maintain my calluses. We need to have spiritual calluses to some certain things in the world. For example, do not be easily offended. I want to grow deep calluses towards that. So it's like, I'm just not easily offended. Even if people try to offend me, I'm just not easily offended. That's the way anybody wants to be like that. I'm just telling you when I read Ephesians, I'm like, you know what? Calluses, Paul says, man, these people, you know what happened to them? They become callous to the things of God because their heart got hard. They lost all sensitivity, the ability to feel spiritual conviction. All remorse. You know, your conscience is the voice of your spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Obey your conscience. Certain people, their conscience don't even say anything anymore. It becomes dull. If I'm talking to Kendra and I'm disrespecting her or I'm not kind to her and I feel okay preaching, that's a huge red flag. And if you know that, I'd say, no, she won't let that happen. She would call me up. She would be like, honey, Are you okay? She would say that. And the same thing. Because my relationship with God must be flowing, my deep intimacy with God must be flowing on how I treat her. She's my first disciple. And her relationship with God must be reflecting in how she treats me. And I tell you, it's not like what Kendra has right now. It's not something that just beam like that. We work hard for it. We work hard for our relationships, our relationship. For Kendra and I's friendship, we work hard for it. We like, that's what we want. We want a relationship that reflects the relationship between the church and Christ. So what do? Because we want that, we communicate. We do the hard thing. We do the hard work. I work hard, like Paul says. When I'm done preaching the gospel, nobody's going to discard me. I treat myself hard. I make it a priority to be a man of integrity. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I won't lie. I won't cheat. That's a choice. You're like, oh, that's arrogant. No, it's all by grace. But I've made a choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to be holy. So when I see that, when I see the attacks of the enemy, I'm like, Kendra, I feel I'm being attacked. Or I have other brothers. I have other sisters. I'm like, pray for me. I'm weak. I confess my sin. That's how you do it. Sometimes we forget that we are in a fight. If you really choose, if you have decided to follow Jesus, truthfully, you are in a fight. The enemy knows. He sees your devotion. He sees how you're putting discipline in reading the Bible, meditating the Bible, applying the Bible in your everyday activities. He sees, you know what? This Friday, last Friday of the month, we come together and pray. That's not an option. You have that on your calendar. Praying, fellowship with the body of Christ, with the saints. You make that a priority. Because if you don't make it a priority, you know what's going to happen? You'll never have time. Your life, let's not blame this on the enemy. You know, sometimes I'm like, poor Satan. Because we're like the enemy. No, you're going to fill your life with other things. And then at the end of the day, there's no time. And you think you're gonna get in your car after 8 hours of working, coming home, make dinner, get in your car and go to home group? No way! You don't serve God when it's convenient to you. And how many times that's what we do? We lost sensitivity for the affairs of God, for the things of God. We become indifferent to sin. Behavior that once caused guilt or discomfort no longer seems wrong. If you can sit in front of a TV and watch a vampire movie, there's something wrong with your conscience. If you can sit and watch garbage on TV, watch movies like different, some of them shows that if you make a resume of the show, it's like, it's infidelity, it's worldly, you know, how is that even possible? Some of the things we, so-called, should be God's people, entertain our mind in. You've been called out of them. But why do we still live like we are still among them? We've been called out of them. It says, Paul says, live no longer as people in the world does. So if I'm talking to somebody, they don't know the Lord. They reject the Lord. And if they're cursing, I mean, I have no business correcting them. But if I'm talking to somebody who called themselves a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and you look at their behavior and you compare it to the standard of the word, then I can call them up. Anybody with me? How about spiritual calluses create a heart that resists God? It hardened your heart. And I pray, my brothers and sisters, do not resist God. Me and Kendra, we are at a place right now. We're like, okay, Lord, I never say I won't move to Colorado. You know, because like, man, it's especially when it's cold. Man, there's no way I can live in Colorado. I don't say that anymore. Because God might move me to Colorado. You get me? Oh, man, I can't do that. I'm done. I can't. How many times in our situation we're like, I can't do that anymore? Really? Who's on the throne? I wonder if Jesus is on the throne. Because if he is on the throne, he might want you to do that. And that's why when we counsel with the word daily, when we counsel with the Lord daily in his word, there are certain things you're like, guys, you will understand how much blessed you are. I mean, you experience peace in the midst of this crazy world. You know, and I'm going to say this. For example, and that's a political statement. Because whether president comes, president goes, all right? Whether you support a president or you don't support a president, they come, they go. Their government come, their government goes. But what we must be careful of, be careful so we don't hate somebody so hard. You know, that like, man, I didn't vote for this guy, and there's nothing good he can do. Is that the heart of Christ? You know, and of course, what I'm saying right now, a lot of you have different person, you know, I mean, we have President Trump. I think he's one of the guy who is the most hated in the country. And he's also one of the guy that a lot of people like. And just like George Bush, just like Obama, just like a lot of other president. But you need to watch your heart. If you call yourself people in the light, do you agree? Do I agree with everything that a president does? No! Do I like everything that, do I like everything they do or they don't? No, of course not. But I must watch my heart that this governor or this senator, this president, when they're going after something that I value, when they're just like, seems so crazy. You know, I actually make it a priority. Listen, I believe the Bible answers every political question. But I think sometimes we involve our emotion into it. And we become so emotionally involved. And we lose sight on God's perspective. I pray you understand what I said. Oh, this is good. This is, don't you love the word? I can keep coming, keep going, but I'm going to stop. Oh, man, this is good. It's just Ephesians. I want to get to Ephesians chapter 5. Alyssa, come play with us. So which area in your life this morning that needs softening? Which area in your heart either needs to let go of calluses or maybe grow more calluses? Because calluses are not just negative. Spiritual calluses can be good. They also can be bad. But which area? Would you take a minute to give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning? As you meditate and give an answer to the word of the Lord, I want you to, you know, if you need to come to the altar, do that. Or if you just need to give an answer where you're at, just do it. Give an answer to the Lord, to the word of the Lord this morning. Let's not give a foothold to the devil. Don't give him access. The word says he's the accuser of the brethren. So he accuses us. He makes false accusation. Maybe that's one area that you need to surrender to the Lord. He's just accusing people in your head. My brothers and sisters, I've been there. It's not easy when someone accuses you for saying, when they accuse you of things you have no idea. It's not. But just vengeance is mine, the Lord says. Would you give it to the Lord and allow Him to soften your heart in that area? So, Father, we humble ourselves before Your Word. We humble ourselves before the authority of Your Word today. We don't want to become spiritually hard, spiritually dull. We want to be sharp in the Spirit, Lord. We want to be sharp in the Spirit, Father. So, Holy Spirit, I invite You in the deep of the deepest part of us, of our hearts, and bring the healing, pour Your rain, pour Your water, pour Your oil that makes our hearts soft. Yes, God. You do it, Father. Only You can do it. And even right now, You're doing it, Lord. The Bible says if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge them, You are faithful and just to forgive us. So if there is anything you need to confess to the Lord, just do it. Just acknowledge, you know what, Lord, I'm dull in this area. I'm hard in this area. My conscience doesn't bother me anymore. You know, some people, they become dull when it comes to not having peace. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed also are the peacekeepers. You keep peace, you make peace. Peter came to Jesus asking Him, how many times must I forgive my brother? 3 times? Jesus says, no, 490 times for a day. May we be not people who are easily offended, because we face situations daily that offends us. The driver next to us offends us. The way people are at the store offends us. Sometimes we even take third party offenses. We offended for somebody else's stuff. Oh, Jesus, thank You for healing us, Father. This morning, we rebuke the work of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we come against him. We come against his lies. Right now, Father, we come and we submit our mind like Your Word says. Be renewed by Your Word in our mind. Lord, make us spiritually sensitive to Your Word. So spiritually, make us sensitive to your voice. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that You would increase the fear of God in our hearts. That we would fear You, Lord. We would respect Your name. We would hate what You hate. We would love what You love. We would shun what You shun. We would embrace what You embrace. You are the God of light, so therefore we must be people of light. I thank You, Father, for working a miracle in our hearts. Thank You for mending our hearts, for making us whole, whole again. In You we find light. Thank You, Jesus.